Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Jans with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing retail, agents, and brokers. And I am honored to have the privilege to introduce you to our guest today, Ellen Carney. Ellen is a principal analyst with Forrester, serving insurance, e-business, and channel strategy professionals. I was first introduced to Ellen, it was a little over a year ago, when I read an article in the New York Times where she was quoted as predicting that 25% of insurance brokers would soon be gone. So I called her up, we talked, and we have become colleagues ever since. And so I'm thrilled to be able to introduce her to you and her perspective to you. She may be more bullish on the industry than you originally think. Her research focuses on the e-business strategies, technologies, adoption trends, and best practices of property and casualty, life group, and health insurers globally. She works with insurance clients to understand how market forces are changing how consumers, groups, and distributors engage with insurance carriers and the role that technology plays in maximizing new opportunities. So it's very timely. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to my friend, Ellen Carney. Ellen Carney, thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor to have you here. How are you today?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be a part of today's podcast.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave no stone unturned. First, I'll tell a little story about our background. Apparently, you saw me speak at some industry conference so long ago that neither you nor I remember exactly what it was. But in particular, I recall that it was about a year or so ago, I read an article in the New York Times, and the headline was something like, industry analysts expect 25% of brokers to disappear in the next few years, okay? And I saw that was my old friend, Ellen Carney, and I thought, oh, well, I should reach out to Ellen. So we did talk about that a little bit last year, and here we are now. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain yourself and to dive in. So, but before we do that, tell us, if you can, tell us a little bit about what you do at Forrester and kind of what Forrester is all about in regards to its insurance practice.
Sure, Mike, thanks. So I've been with Forrester for going on 10 years, and I've covered the insurance industry for that whole 10-year period, but from two different lenses. The first 3.5 years I was with Forrester, I looked at the kinds of technology investments that insurance companies were making and why they were making them. And then I had a very serendipitous opportunity to come over to Forrester's digital business team to look at how insurance carriers were basically winning, serving, and retaining customers in both agent channel as well as digital channel.
Mm-hmm.
And a little known fact about Forrester, we are one of the largest surveyors of consumers in the U.S., just behind the U.S. Census Bureau. So we have tons of data for many, many years on consumer behaviors around their banking relationships, but for me, their insurance relationships.
Right.
So that's a little bit about Forrester. Been in business for 33 years, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. But look at insurance not just in the U.S. but Canada, Europe, and Asia Pacific.
Got it. All right. Well, we have a lot of listeners in the U.S. and Canada, so we're all going to be excited to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to circle back to your 25% question declaration in a moment. But let's kind of start at the beginning. You're in a unique position in the industry where you get to hear and see what's happening with carriers and what they're thinking, and also see what's happening with consumers and what they're thinking. So What are some of the really big things that jump out to you about changes in the insurance industry now?
Right now, well, obviously because of digital customers, because they have these experiences that they're borrowing from their banking relationships or from airline apps or whatever, are raising the bar for insurance carriers and their agents. So, you know, they're emboldened now by the power of digital that they can carry around in their purses or their pockets when they want to interact with their insurance company. So it means that, you know, they always want to know about the status of their claim. And if they're not happy with that experience, gosh, they're ready to not only defect, but tell the world about, you know, their crappy experience. You
and
know?
Right. And they'll share that on a digital device where all of their friends can find out about it.
Exactly. So these escalating expectations are challenging insurance carriers and agents at the same time. And, you know, while all of this is going on, Michael, they're also battling startups and non-traditional players who are finding the insurance industry fascinating.
Like never before.
Like never before.
Okay.
So let me give you a few examples. You know, I would suspect a bunch of people in the audience have smart home devices. Like, think about a Nest thermostat or the Ring doorbells that they're seeing advertised on television.
Right.
So these smart home devices are giving rise to new ecosystems that surround the home and the car.
Internet of Things.
Internet of Things, exactly. So think about, not that we're going to be, you know, thinking about our cars. We're thinking about a transportation experience. We're not thinking about our homes. We're thinking about a lifestyle experience. All of this is driving engagement with the customers. It's opening up new partnerships that insurance companies can play. But over time, maybe it means, and I'm not saying this is going to happen in 2017, but, you know, play out 10 years. Maybe insurance becomes an ingredient brand like Intel Inside. Other things that we're seeing, obviously, you know, kind of tied here is, you know, around engagement. Big tech firms, you know, they're also creeping, you know, deeper into financial services. I hate to say, no matter how much we've invested ourselves as agents and the carriers that we're partnering with on our mobile apps, they spend most of their time in five mobile apps, and guess what? None of those five apps happen to be an insurance app.
Yeah, how about that?
exactly. Right. So, you know, we expect insurance carriers are going to be seeing bits and pieces of the front-end experiences of customers being lost to these big platforms. And, of course, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Apple. I'm talking about Google. I'm talking about Amazon.
Okay.
And, you know, this may not just be that mobile device. It may be that little robot that's on the kitchen counter, Alexa, Siri, Google Now.
There already are insurance carriers that are partnering with them, right?
Exactly.
At least to be providing information so you can ask Alexa, Alexa, what does this insurance term mean? And she'll tell you.
Exactly. Right? Okay. And suppose maybe you ask the address of the nearest a new car dealer because you're in the market for a new car.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Doesn't a car insurance go along with that?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So we're seeing a lot of startups, obviously. We are tracking about 400 insurtech startups around the world.
Right.
Of course, you know, just as our friends at Google Now tanked last year, you know, went out of business, they'll come back to something different.
Right.
You know, we've got a lot of interesting things. So think about that smart home I just talked about. There's a new company that's coming out in 2017, Hippo.
Right.
Smart insurance for the smart home.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, 450 of those, you know, you're seeing these interesting startups becoming interesting partnership opportunities for insurance carriers.
All right. So what do you think? From an agent's point of view, we've sort of been in some ways king of the roost for, you know, decades and generations, and things have not changed that much. Clearly in the last 15, 20 years, we've seen some other channels arise and take market share in personal lines and small commercial lines. So from an agent's point of view, it's difficult to look at this and say, well, those 450 startups that you're tracking are there to support the broker or the agent. They're mostly not. They're mostly not friendly to that channel, right?
Right.
Okay. So is this where we circle back to your New York Times headline?
Well, Well, interestingly, absolutely, because one of the other interesting things I would call this is, you know, kind of not, maybe not quite this, you know, smart home and connected car, but another interesting trend, the rise of the machines. How about artificial intelligence? We've already talked about, right. you know, those little helpful assistants like Alexa and Google Now, bots, virtual agents.
Chatbots.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Guided selling and service tools. So believe me, you know, we see a lot of ways. How could we offload basic questions that a consumer who, you know, who might want to call their agent, you know, when's my bill due? You know, there's three dates on the bill I just got. I don't know. When am I supposed to pay it?
Right. Okay.
So wouldn't it be nice to have something to answer that? So, you know, you know, something that will affect, you know, our agents will be, you know, these helpful digital tools that will offload some of that mundane stuff that keeps them engaged with their customers, but, you know, hopefully will free them up to do things like, you know, deeper consulting, better understanding of what a customer's needs might be, you know, more thoughtful solutions to that customer. And, you know, when you think about those smart home and connected cars we were talking about, Michael,
yes.
You know, a lot of customers are going to have a hard time installing them, you know, and wouldn't it be really kind of nice to maybe turn your agency into maybe like the Geek Squad?
Uh-huh.
We'll talk a little bit about this shift from insurance carriers just selling insurance to insurance carriers selling a solution that could include bundled services that wrap around the core insurance product. So think I bought homeowners insurance, but on top of that, I could get home inspection services, I could get disaster planning services, I could get, I want to do an addition. Could you help me
right.
connect with a home improvement contractor?
Mm-hmm.
And in the, we've asked consumers and, over 30% of male heads of households with kids under age 18 in the home said, I would like to buy services to help me maintain my home from my insurance company.
Ah, really? Okay. So
yeah.
So let's dive into that a little bit. First of all, I'm just going to highlight, yellow highlighter on something you just said. Insurance agency as Geek Squad. I think it's a tremendous idea. Obviously, as a technology company, it's something that we encourage because we know how technology can multiply your capabilities. That's a learning curve, and I think it's incredibly exciting. And I guess, you know, I'm going to step out of the role as interviewer into the role as advocate, and encourage, you know, listeners who are agents and brokers to take technology very seriously, because
mm-hmm.
technology is taking your industry very seriously. I mean, wouldn't you say, Ellen, that is going to be the if not the disruptor, the transformer of this industry?
Absolutely. And, you know, we could even extend this idea of the agency being the Geek Squad to help consumers with technology that they need to insure. Think about what was the big Christmas gift last year and this year? Drones.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, I got to go in and make sure I've got drone coverage, but, you know, how about helping me set up my drone? Another idea I have is that if a lot of our members of the audience, you know, they go into the Apple store to, you know, get the new or latest iPad or iPhone, think about turning the agency into the Genius Bar. Here, we're going to show you how to use the mobile app. We're going to
uh-huh.
show you actually how to do online bill pay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can, you know, use the cool digital tools to help you have a better understanding of your insurance coverage, how, you know, where you stand on your claim status or whatever it happens to be. So, you know, I think we're going to see some interesting hybridization of the role that the agents are going to play in, you know, helping customers.
Okay, so we're seeing a lot of technological innovation. We're seeing, you know, as you said, you're tracking 400 or 450 InsurTech startups. I stumbled across the registration list for an InsurTech conference that was held a couple of months ago, and I noticed that
mm-hmm.
there were over 750 companies that were going to be participating in that one conference. And those conferences are taking place throughout the world and in various cities throughout the United States. So it's huge. But ultimately, the magnet for the insurance dollars, it's ultimately got to be the consumer. You do a lot of consumer research. Tell us, if you can, what does today's insurance consumer want? What are they saying to you?
Well, you know, what they're looking for is great experiences. And, you know, some of that great experience isn't necessarily delivered, in a digital fashion. And let me give you a for instance.
Okay.
It's one thing to talk about the fact that there might be 450 insurtech startups. And, you know, all of them have done a really great job with, you know, their marketing. They've done a great job with getting venture capital to help them grow their businesses. And they've done a great job with writing press releases. You know what
right.
they haven't?
Yeah,
you know,
no, I saw one a couple of days ago that I thought, okay, that's a great press release. Closing a claim in 3 seconds. That's
3 seconds.
Right?
Our friends at Lemonade that have stirred up the pot.
Okay.
What haven't they done yet? They haven't gotten customers.
Sold a lot of insurance, right?
Bingo.
Okay.
This is something that obviously we do through agents, and they know how to sell. They know how to take care of the customers.
Right.
So we can have all this hype about these insurtech startups. With them getting customers, that remains to be seen.
Okay, right on. Let's kind of, you know, let's circle in on that question. What does today's consumer want? And obviously, they don't all fit into the same bucket, so there are different buckets of consumers. What are you finding out? What's important for agents to understand?
Well, right now, what consumers are looking for is a great experience. You know, this is what we're focused on now is, consumers are making decisions around the carriers that deliver great experiences. They defect if, you know, they have a poor service experience. They defect if they have a bad claims experience. And, what we're looking at is the ways that we can make that insurance experience more helpful, more human, more handy for the consumer.
Okay.
So, that more helpful, more handy, more human. The human, we know that is coming from the agent experience, the people who listen, who provide empathy, who help them pick the right products.
Mm-hmm.
The helpful stuff is, you know, when I can't reach my agent, how do I actually get that information?
Right.
And so we see digital and mobile tools help the consumer. And again, you know, the handy part, it's the convenience where you can carry it in your purse or your pocket, and have access to whatever kind of insurance, you know, information you kind of need. But as I said, you know, it's going to be an experience that's going to transcend just the purchase and use of insurance. It's going to be, you know, what is insurance's role going to be, and, you know, protecting my lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
my home,
right.
you know, getting me to and from work.
Okay.
So that's, you know, kind of where we see it going.
All right. So that gets back to my bucket concept. Who do you think is the optimal customer, the optimal demographic for the broker channel, as opposed to some of these other channels?
Well, it's probably going to surprise you.
Okay.
Okay. But one of the most, when we asked 18 to 24-year-olds, what is the most common thing you've done on a mobile phone with interacting with an insurance company in the last 90 days?
Right.
What they said was, I was looking for an agent.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Here's your first time insurance buyer. This is a time where you actually start off on the right foot and see the value of an agent. And, you know, my call out to the audience is, will you pay attention to that young person who comes into the agency?
Well, they pretty much have to, considering that there are 83 million of them in the United States.
So. Exactly, exactly.
And so, honestly, Ellen, that's a conversation that we have constantly, is now. Today's agent really is asking, how do I get that customer? So you're saying that the millennial is perhaps attracted to this channel.
Yeah.
Why do you think
and
that
obviously
is?
Well, they need help.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm a first-time buyer. I need to understand the nuances of, you know, what's the right kind of coverage. You know, I've just graduated college. You know, I've got a car. I've got to get to work. Mom and dad, or you know, a friend or family member told me, "Hey, go talk to my agent." Here they
okay.
are.
Right. All right. Very good. Okay.
And so off they go.
So
you know, it's tempting to think that this isn't the audience that we should pay attention to. It is the very audience we should be paying attention to.
Got it.
But what are they gonna find when they get there? Are they going to let me give you an example, on that connected car. You know, many agents, you know, are afraid to sell it, you know, telematics insurance. I don't understand it.
Right.
I don't want to sell it. But this is, you know, this is a particular audience that says, hey, listen, if I can save insurance, you know, save money on my car insurance, you know, by being tracked, and, you know, their privacy isn't quite as, you know, pointed as the rest of us.
They're kind of used to being out there.
That's right.
Right.
So,
you
know, is your agency, repping carriers that are offering this kind of coverage, and can you sell it? And then on top of it, you know, if you even as an agent have a mobile app or a website, can you explain to that, you know, that new millennial customer, you know, how they can pay their bill or use their site? And, you know, honestly, do your agency hours reflect, you know, this particular market's, you know, lifestyle?
Yeah.
You know, do you have office hours on Saturdays? Maybe even Sundays.
Right, right. Okay. So typically, you know, one of the ways that we look at the industry, and this, some of this, Ellen, forgive me, this is, you know, Bain's research, that there are three primary motivators that compel people to make their purchasing decision in insurance. One is price, and we're generally not the cheapest channel. One is convenience, and we're definitely not the most convenient channel. And the third one, and not the least of them, is peace of mind. In other words, there's a demographic that actually cares what insurance does.
That's right.
And we are right on for them. They want the sense that there's an expert and an advocate in my corner. And if we can deliver that sense of being there, being present, and being useful, not just taking an annual premium, we can win a customer with a very high lifetime value and a long-term relationship.
That's right. And, you know, again, a little bit different take on my helpful, human, and handy kind of.
Oh,
you know,
helpful, human, and handy. Okay, got it. All right. Well, we're human, and we're helpful and human. We're, you know, this channel's not always handy. But, well, we're definitely not as handy as you know, like... the emerging digital channel just might win that one, but
except I would argue that you're seeing most agencies have websites that can answer some of this.
Thank
and
God.
Have mobile apps.
Right. Okay.
So we're getting there.
And a growing number have a marketing automation system that reaches out to the customer and delivers ongoing value and guides their customer journey. Right. So that's important too. All right. So I know that, Ellen, that, you know, making predictions can be a bit of a fool's game and we can all look silly a year later, but I'm going to ask you to do your best. If you look at the next 12 months in this fast-paced, turbulent insurance environment, what kind of things do you see?
Well, you know, that genius bar I talked about, you are going to see that. Now, it probably is going to be more with captive carriers than independents, but you're going to see that deployed in the carriers I've talked about. They are very excited about this idea of, you know, a place where, you know, consumers can go and learn about the digital tools that they have. You're going to see some interesting marketing coming from insurance carriers. For instance, last year, Allstate, of course, launched a big data company. I think you know that I poke around. So state filings, that's how I learned about, Google Compare. Patent filings, State Farm, in a patent filing I looked at last week, did not call themselves an insurance company. They said they were a life management company.
That's fascinating. I happened to see a posting with patent filings from insurance companies yesterday, and it was absolutely fascinating. I mean, they were all digital technology patents that they were filing, and so... Mm-hmm. Those were from carriers, not those were from standard traditional carriers, not the, you know, sort of the crazy innovative startup guys. All right. What else? What else do you see for the coming 12 months?
Well, and some of this is going to be obviously, carriers are going to be expecting their agents to be on the front end of delivering some bad news to consumer clients again, rate increases. And of course, you know, that productivity pressure that, you know, has, you know, been hard to, let up on the agencies. But We're also seeing, you know, okay.
Hang on there, kid. you said rate increases. What's driving that?
Oh, you know, what I call the high price of the high cost of cheap gas.
Okay,
so,
got it.
You know, as gas prices have gone down, claim frequency has gone up. What does that mean? We, you know, auto prices increase. That's gone up, not gone unabated this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're enlisting agents to deliver that bad news.
Right.
About rate increases.
Okay, got it.
And you know, of course, you know, on the homeowner side, and I think Michael, you yourself are experiencing this with you know, the storms that you're having in Oregon.
Oh my God!
You know, extreme weather.
Yeah. Okay.
So from the wildfires in Fort McMurray and flooding in the southern U.S. this summer, you know, rates are going to go up for property insurance too.
Okay. Are you calling that climate change?
We don't use that word.
It's just bad, really bad. It's really bad weather. Okay.
We use extreme weather, Michael.
Okay, got it. All right.
especially after next Friday.
Okay.
Extreme weather.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
You know, a couple. You know, but we are going to see some offerings that are making life easier, especially on the commercial submission side. So if you haven't caught, you know, Evosure, you know, got picked up by Applied Systems, I think at this point in time, 2 years ago.
Right.
And that's now known as Ivan's Market Appetite.
Yes.
But also, interesting company, Risk Match. So, you know, better way to match up carrier appetite to write and, you know, agent broker business for commercial.
Got it.
And then I think the other thing is, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to see this, you know, even moving into the consumer market, cyber.
Okay.
Cyber coverage.
Yes. Right. Lots. Right. And so even in the consumer market. Okay. Fair enough.
Even in the consumer market. And in fact, this might be one of the services that agents are called upon to sell, cyber monitoring services. So, you know, stuff like LifeLock or ID911 might get packaged up with insurance coverage.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask you two things.
All right.
If you could say in one or two sentences a message to the insurance carrier in the independent agency channel, something that you would say, do this, what would you say?
Make sure that, you know, your territory reps come with something digital to, you know, talk about how the, you know, talk about the agency's business. No more binders, no more data transfers, putting stuff on copy machines. Make their life easier, you know, by providing information, you know, that's mobile, portable, and in real time.
Got it. All right. So in their portfolio, they can talk about Agency Revolution. All right. So, well, they should. If I was going to give you one or two sentences where you could deliver a message, a do this to the agent broker community in the independent channel, what would you say?
Don't neglect your younger customers, as I said. You know, pay attention to them. Recruit millennials into your agency. And if you want to, you know, riff on my idea of the genius bars and use it to kind of promote your own digital nature.
Right.
You know, it will be a great way to draw, you know, both young people into the business of insurance as well as, you know, make everybody in the agency from both a customer standpoint and a staff standpoint a whole lot smarter about digital.
Got it. All right. So before we wrap up, long-term future of our vertical, what do you think of the insurance industry?
You know, it may be less vertically integrated than it has in the past. And part of that is because, you know, we're seeing it actually breaking up, especially with some of these, you know, insurtech startups. So we're seeing right now, believe it or not, a divorce between distribution and underwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we used to think, okay, that'll get taken care of by, you know, a managing general agent underwriter model. But now digital, because of APIs and things like that, lets, you know, a piece of technology orchestrate the experience to assemble solutions for customers. So you could imagine that maybe, you know, the vertically integrated model that we've depended on and been able to control is, you know, we're busted apart as insurance carriers and we focus on what we're really good at.
Really?
You know, maybe
maybe
Allstate with their big data, you know, becomes, you know, much more about the data and marketing that as opposed to, handling the claims piece. That's just a for instance.
Okay. Got it.
We'll specialize.
All right. Very good. All righty. I'm going to change gears before we wind up. All right. I'm going to ask you a question or two that's sort of on a slightly different tack.
You bet.
All right. So, Ellen, I know you're a lifelong learner and probably a voracious reader. Have you read anything in the last 12 months that you felt was particularly inspirational?
Insightful. A couple of things. One of the best articles I read last year was an article in the Atlantic Monthly called "The Secret Shame of the Middle Class," that basically said that middle class consumers who make as much as $100,000 could not come up with $400 in an emergency.
Wow.
Got me thinking in a new way about how we have to change, how we price life insurance premiums and stuff like that. I'm reading Don Tapscott and his son Alex Tapscott's book on the blockchain revolution.
Uh-huh.
So thinking about how when we think about atomizing the business of insurance, if we not only just bust it up from a process standpoint, but maybe even bust up the subcomponents, how do we charge for this in the moment insurance? Blockchain seems like a great idea. So
is that one called the blockchain revolution?
Blockchain revolution.
Okay. Got it. All right. Ellen, this has been it's been a lot of fun. This was exciting, and I appreciate you sharing your expertise and your insight. If any of our listeners would want to reach out to you or find out more about what it is that you do, how can they do that? What's the best way?
Sure. My email address is ecarney, like art, C-A-R-N-E-Y, at Forrester, Forrester.com. And that's the easiest way to reach me. I do have a Twitter handle, but I mostly am a big retweeter. But Michael, we should think about another one of these when I've got some other interesting research coming on the future of the insurance industry 10 years out. So if you're up for another one,
I'm up for another one. You let me know, and we'll do it. And I can promise you, a lot of people are going to listen to it. Ellen, this has been really exciting. I appreciate it. So thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.